heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
You know, you can feel it. Call it what you want. It's a little more than butterflies at this point. I mean, we can all sort of feel that coming into the election. And then what I think a lot of people are worried about is what happens after the election. Now, what I'm setting up here for is this. I believe the next couple of weeks are going to be pretty monumental in our nation. And I don't think it all is going to be fixed or stop or end on the 3rd of November. Whatever the debate is or those arguments or discussion is or whatever the fallout is, we're going to feel the reverberations of that for days and days and days, potentially weeks and months, very potentially, after the election. So let's be clear of that as well. And so I'm seeing the next couple of weeks as a pivotal transition in our country. Now, a lot of things could happen. There are a lot of unknowns, for sure. Now, what I don't want to do here today, or really any day for that matter, is I don't want to get on here and state the obvious, okay? And my goal isn't to get on here and tell you everything you already know, or to tell you everything you're thinking, or to give you confirmation, which is really what's happening out there in all the media circles, because as I continue to tell you, I mean, the vast majority of people are living in echo chambers. We go to the people that have the same similar style beliefs that we have. So we're really not making progress. We're never going to make progress, actually, because how many people that may not have the same viewpoint as myself would fall in here to listen to the voice of a nation today, to listen to Malcolm? See, that's the question. And that's, of course, I've been razzing you for months and months and months to invite those people in. But there was a reason I did that. And there was a strategy behind my thinking, you see. And now we're seeing that play right out here. And I think it is something we need to ask ourselves. I mean, at this moment of time, this fear thing, you know, even though we are so fearful, I think we tend to work overtime. Our minds work overtime. And the adrenaline gets pumping like anything, like a big, you know, anything you might be doing, a big speech, a big sports game or something that's really important to you. It's no different than this moment with this election. So fear set in, and I would say we've probably overthinking a lot of things. I'm hopeful that we are maybe, that we are overthinking some things, and potentially this fear, some of it will fizzle out maybe, and maybe it will become just the order of the day and just another election. And then again, maybe I'm an optimist, huh? But we will see. We will see soon enough, but there is that potential. I just want to remind you. And I want to also remind you to take a deep breath and don't let the nerves get to you. And, you know, try to have an open mind and get other people engaged in the process here, in the game of politics and the game of life. Invite them to America Out Loud, please. And invite them to this program, The Voice of a Nation, always. And let's see if we can't bridge the gap and try to make sense of sometimes what often looks like the incomprehensible. I mean, who can really figure some of this stuff out, right? So let's get into some of the not so obvious maybe and look at some of behind the headlines. And there's a lot to talk about the debate that just happened, of course. We'll discuss some of that and some of the fallout, a lot of the lies. Each side is professing the other side was lying. As you go to look at the headlines, you have the vast majority of the media, which we all know sits on the left and the far left. Their headline is that this was a clear victory for Biden and Trump just lied for 90 plus minutes. That was it. And then you have the few, and it's a small percentage on the right, who would say the direct opposite, that Biden was full of lies and that that Trump was the clear winner. That is the obvious, and I've just stated you what you already know, but I don't want to keep going on this obvious, okay? Let me start first. I want to talk to you about this Leslie Stahl 60 Minutes interview. Quite fascinating here, and I don't know a lot of folks are talking about this, but I find it somewhat at the center of the storm, because it explains a lot about our media. Because Leslie Stahl and 60 Minutes and CBS and television news reporting all fall into this corridor of corruption. That's all they do is corruption. And this was quite striking, this interview, which most of you have not seen yet, unless you went to the president's social media feed and you were able to see what he released already on this, which was unprecedented, which, by the way, CBS about had a heart attack when they seen that. In fact, they came out and their statement is this: the White House's unprecedented decision to disregard their agreement. Maybe CBS should think about that. They shouldn't disregard the truth, huh? I don't know if you've seen it, but it is quite something. The I think it's about 30 some odd minutes or whatever that the president was there or close to it, if not that. And, you know, you watch the president and his body language and his facial gestures, and you sort of get the sense right away. It took a lot of him to sit there for Leslie Stahl to do her, to be as abrupt and as rude as she is. And we've seen that play out so many times before with these debate moderators or these narrators or people from, you know, again, the media field. This is what they do. There is no respect for the presidency anymore. There is no respect, certainly, for the president of the United States. None of that exists, very much so, you know. So that statement, 60 Minutes put out there, the White House's unprecedented decision to disregard their agreement with CBS News and release their footage will not deter 60 Minutes from providing its full, fair, and contextual reporting, which presidents have participated in for decades. Few journalists have the presidential interview experience Leslie Stahl has delivered over her decades as one of the premier correspondents in America. And we look forward to audiences seeing her third interview with President Trump. Now, there's a whole bunch to talk about here, okay? Including the fact what's going to be interesting, I would imagine, is with the fact that the president put that piece out there, which was unedited, that was obviously filmed from his people that were capturing that there. That was probably part of their agreement as well. The fact that he put that out there, I can probably suggest to you that it might very well have changed what 60 Minutes would have put in their final program. Now, it may or may not, but it very well has had an impact, I'm sure. Because, you know, remember, they record X amount of footage here, and then they splice and dice it is what happens. A good part of it falls on the cutting room floor, never to be seen or used. And the rest makes the light of day in the primetime interview. So it'll be interesting to see, possibly, what they put out on their program versus what the president put out on his feed. It may have changed some of that, but probably not a lot, because I think they're going to assume that their audience is going to be a lot of their hard, fast people, their viewership and fans that maybe don't go to the president's feed, probably. So they'll try to, you know, omit some of that maybe. But the president, he's just out there in the full light of day. He doesn't care. And that's the thing about this president that drives them all crazy. Really and truly it is. He just puts the truth out there, like it, leave it, love it, lose it, whatever. And he does it. And sometimes you look back at that stuff and you say, wow, did the president really say that or do that? But, you know, he's just a man of the people. He's a man of truth, and he puts it out there. And sometimes that stuff doesn't always even look favorable to him. And yet he still does it, you see. He's still willing to gamble with it and throw it out there. Now, there's something refreshing about that. A lot of people don't see that in the media world, and certainly the left doesn't see that, because much of it doesn't fall into their politically correct narrative. Well, that's always been the problem here, people. A lot of this stuff doesn't fall into their discussion points. It doesn't fit their agenda, but it doesn't fit because the president doesn't all the time come across as a warm and fuzzy kind of fella, you know, which is, I guess, what they're looking for in a snowflake president, potentially, you know. I guess they're looking at Sleepy Biden to be that man, obviously. They certainly picked the most docile, quiet, ineffective, long-term political career politician as the candidate for the Democrat nomination for sure. So they got what they got, right? Now they'll have to deal with it. So the White House releases this. It was about, and I'm reading reports now, it's about 37 minutes, actually. It's uncut footage again. So as I said to you, it's not edited at all. So you see the president, even before it really goes on, even before the cameras click and the mic goes hot, you see him with whoever grabbed this footage on his team. And they have the setup. You see the president's reactions, what he does. And again, he puts it all out there. He doesn't splice it and dice it. He's just, here it is, man. Here it is, America. Go look at it, see what I'm all about. And evidently, when you get to the end of this, you recognize that Mike Pence was supposed to be on there for some period of time. He was going to go on after Trump. But because the interview was so ridiculous and so hostile and so over the top, and Leslie Stahl was very Stahl-ish, I think the president did the math. So he stopped the interview pretty well near the end now. Of course, they're making more out of that than what it is. He pretty well gave them the raise. And they were calling, Vice President Pence, are you ready now kind of thing. It was sort of in that transition mode, I think, or maybe the president had just started to disengage from the conversation. And he uninvited Mike Pence at that moment. I mean, he literally, and all the 60 minutes people are looking around because, you know, again, the president has the last word. It's not the VP's decision. But you see what Trump knew at that point, what he was going to do. He knew what they were going to do. No matter what he did, they were going to bring Mike Pence on next. And they were going to play gotcha games with Pence. Well, don't you see the president did that? And did you know the president did that? And what do you think about that? And why did the president? And it was all going to be this gotcha, getcha, you know, kind of program. The president knew that. And he said, you know, I think we have just about enough footage here. I think we're done. Everybody looked around the room at each other. It was quite funny, actually. I mean, I watched the whole thing. It was good to watch, actually. And but you certainly get the sense of what happened. The president pulled the plug immediately. And you never did see Pence as the visual of him in the camera there, whoever was, again, recording that. But Pence was in the back of the room watching and listening to the entire interview and was, again, scheduled to be part of the 60-minute deal. So instead of that, you really have Donald Trump unplugged, which is what you always have, is Donald Trump unplugged. You don't always ever get the media unplugged. And I think what Trump did by exposing it out there, he decided instead of them doing their fancy editing and cutting and splicing it all up and leaving how rude she was, you know, sugarcoating it, I am sure he did the math to himself and said, you know what, let's throw the whole damn thing out there and let them see Leslie Stahl, let them see me, let them see the truth and whatever it is, and the American people will make out of it what they may. I'm sure that's what he said. And he did exactly that. Make sense to you? Yeah, it makes sense to me. And the truth be told, I'd have probably done the same darn thing. And you can see that now. I'd have done the same because you have to sort of know when the media is playing games. You've got to figure that out. You know, I was just in an interview with a media source of a liberal far left media was interviewed on, and they were very hostile and get to the point with the gotcha kind of questions. And then at the last minute, it's and that was with The Guardian, by the way. It's, you know, pretty far to the left, but you have to read between the body language, and they wanted to keep going with me and but I cut the interview off there as well. I did the same thing Trump did, because I was talking to a group of people at the Villages. This was, I had traveled to, and, was talking to a group about, the pandemic and COVID and, the election and all the stuff. So it was, Malcolm Out Loud Unwound, or if there is ever the opposite of that doesn't exist, actually. Out Loud is unwound, right? That's the whole theory here anyways. But it was interesting, and they did a whole expose on an interview, and they filmed the speech I did, and then they did a little interview with me. And it was the same sort of thing. It was gotcha about the whole thing. And I pulled the plug and said, oh, I've had enough. Thank you very much. And you know, they ready to keep going and want to ask more questions and go down the rabbit hole of, what do you mean? You know, aren't you guilty? Don't you realize some of these people could die tomorrow? And isn't that your fault, Mr. Out Loud? I mean, come on. You're guilty of that by saying that, you know, these things are not effective, or this is a bit of a scam, or we're not opening up fast enough for you. What's the matter with you? You know, because I don't fall into the whole concept of this pandemic that has taken over our lives, and everybody should wear a mask all the time, 24/7, and keep everything locked down, and we're all going to die, which was also a highlight at the debate, by the way, where there was, you know, the president had the optimism, of course, and the other guy wants to, he shows the mask in his hand, the black mask, and wants to lock it all down. I would suggest to you that a good part of America is over this. They're tired of it. They don't want to play the game anymore. And even those in the middle and the independents and moderates and those just left of center, I think they're also pretty well done with it. And you know what? A lot of these people who have businesses in a lot of these blue states and blue cities, which the president very appropriately pointed out at the debate. I mean, it's funny because it's actually ignorant and sad and crude and ridiculous with the fact that, you know, a good half of our country has stayed in lockdown mode, at least the states and cities that are run. And that was all to put pain. Well, it was to put pain on the White House, put pain on the president, and put pain on the American people so that you would feel this pandemic in all of its glory. You would feel the pain and say, ah, oh, that hurts. You see, that was the goal. And so they kept it all locked down. And then they said, well, but Mr. President, I mean, my golly, we got more cases and, you know, unemployment is not coming back fast enough and more jobs are lost and the economy is plummeting. The poor business people, where the hell's that stimulus or relief bill? Pelosi. And of course, Pelosi is playing her usual games and not getting it through there because she thinks that's going to be a victory for the president. More pain. It's like a screwdriver and a screw. Ugh, tighten that ratchet right up there. You feel that pain, America? Ugh. That's what that's all about. It's Pelosi right there. Feel it. Feel it, America. Tighten your belt. Feel the pain. That's it. You feel that pain? That's what they wanted, people. And then they have the audacity to get into these debates and these conversations or these reporters from the left who wanted to keep it all locked up. But Mr. President, the economy is not where it was. What did you do to this economy, Mr. President? Shame on you. Well, this is your economy. Aren't you taking responsible for this economy? Aren't you taking responsible for this pandemic, Mr. President? You see how this goes, you know? Feel the pain. Say uncle right over here. We're not going to give you the relief in this stimulus. We want your businesses to close and go out of business. We want you to be in pain. We want the blue cities and states to suffer. And, you know, the interesting thing about that is a lot of those businesses, keep in mind, are both liberal and conservative. And this is where it gets a little dicey and interesting. Because, people, I'm not joking you here. We're going to lose probably 60%. And of course, if this thing keeps going on longer, months more, it'll be 75% we lose. We're talking a massive loss of businesses in our nation. Well, that can only impact the economy. That can only impact the numbers. That's not by design, by the president's agenda. He has been pleading with these Democrat mayors and governors and Marxist politicians to open up the economy back up. He's pleading with them. But they continue to find reason not to. And they run around yelling, social distance, wear your mask. There's more cases. We're all dying. We're coming into a dark winter. That's what the vice president, former and presidential candidate Biden suggests, a dark winter. How is that a mode of optimism, America? How does that feel? We're coming into a dark winter. Tighten that belt up again. So you see where this is going now. But this is what I've been talking about for since March. And here we are. But it's what they got. You see, they're using the cards there, that handy-dandy virus, or as the president calls it, the China plague. But they're using the handy-dandy virus from China as the political tool that it can be so they can strip the American people of their own power and more so strip Donald Trump and get him the hell out of there. So you see, it's a bit of a game. Everybody got that down now? Oh, Mr. President, the economy is not doing what it should be doing. That is your responsibility. Mr. President, this whole pandemic, the way you ran it is horrendous. It is your fault, Mr. President. Yeah, Yeah. See, that's what it is. This is after they sat there and they had their little meetings in their back rooms where they weren't wearing the mask. How do we get that? Well, let's talk Pelosi. Okay. So Pelosi, why don't you not pass the stimulus and relief? You kind of jerk around with them for, you know, a good couple, 3 months. See what you can do to slow that down, create some more pain. And in the meantime, we'll do this over here with the reporting and we'll just sort of drive this narrative, create more pain, let the numbers plummet because, you know, hey, if the economy isn't, you know, grooving and screwing here, then the president doesn't get another term traditionally in America, which again, I bring to your attention last November when the economy was in the heavens, right? And they were scared as hell. And so they needed the handy dandy virus of sorts and the civil unrest, of course, to decimate the businesses, break their windows, burn their buildings, you know, and do all the chaos they can possibly do for the reasons I give you. This is and was the best insurance policy to remove President Trump from office. My fellow Americans, it is better than any impeachment. It is better than any Russia collusion or any Ukraine phone call or any 25th Amendment or any other thing we can demise at the moment. This is the best tool. Create the pain. Make the American people suffer, show it's all Donald Trump's fault, get him the hell out of office, by hook or by crook. And it gets more interesting. There's a lot to talk about here, believe me, and we will. I got some other interesting things on this point I will get back to. I want to stand Leslie Stahl for a minute in this interesting expose here of lies and BS that the president so brazenly put out there. So, okay, so I share with you what 60 Minutes CBS releases, that they're, you know, they're aghast how dear the president, he didn't follow our tradition, which presidents have participated in for decades. What's the matter with this guy? Well, this president doesn't participate in any of your traditions of being a bunch of lying bastards as you are. He doesn't do any of that. So why is that a surprise, you see? I mean, come on. So the president's post said this: look at the bias, hatred, and rudeness on behalf of 60 Minutes and CBS. And then, you know, that's it. That was put out just before the debate. Interesting. So we'll see if you get a chance to watch that or not, or what happens here. But so Stahl asked about 2/3 of the way through the interview. She said, this is the most important issue in the country right now. Speaking of the president who had talked about the Hunter Biden scandal. Briefly, he tried to get a few words in there without being cut off at the pass, which, again, he did at the debate as well. But this, again, I'm referring to the 60 Minutes or interview. And really, it, you know, he says, OK, so she strikes back. You mean this is the most important thing? He says, the president says, it's a very important issue to find out whether a man's corrupt who's running for president, who's accepted money from China and Ukraine and from Russia. That was the president's response. He says, the president, take a look at what's going on, Leslie. And you say you shouldn't be discussed? That shouldn't be discussed? I think it's one of the biggest scandals I've ever seen. And you don't cover it. And then here's what she says back. You'll love this, people. She says, well, because it can't be verified. I'm telling you. Now, if that was only the standard, and I'm not going to take my time and rant for the next 10 minutes, which you knew I could easily do that, to tell you why the hypocrisy on that stinks more than the sentence itself, okay? I mean, you already know that they have verified nothing, zero, kibbutz in the past 4 years, but they have been all so willing and thrilling and joyous to throw every bit of spectacle of crumb they could possibly get out there. And we won't go through all the cases. I'm not going to bore you with that. I told you up front, I'm not going to give you the obvious today or any day. I want to give you the unobvious, get you to think a little bit outside of what the rest of everybody's talking about, because everybody's talking about the same garbage, okay? So, you know, but if that was the standard, Leslie Stahl, well, because it can't, I mean, get out of here, people, because you would have, none of this stuff would have made the light of day. People, if that was the standard in our country, none of this would have been able to be talked about. I mean, none of the stuff that Michael Cohen had, that crooked attorney, that other one who's in jail there, the nut job, the Stormy guy, you know, that whole group, that was another chapter, remember? I mean, all the stuff, the Russia thing, the fake dossier, none of that was verified. And Stahl has the, well, let's just say she's got big ovaries, okay? Let's just leave it there and be a gentleman. You'll agree with it. She has big ovaries she's got, I say to you. Well, because it can't be verified. So that's the standard now we're going to go by. We're going to go by some sort of journalistic integrity all of a sudden. Okay, all right. So the president says, of course it can be verified, he interjects. Excuse me, and you can see the president's body language when he does this. You've seen it a million times, so it's really quite clever. Excuse me, Leslie. And it doesn't matter if Leslie's talking or not, the president's going to do this because he's going to call the truth out. And he says, excuse me, Leslie, they found a laptop. It can't be verified, she says. Oh, there's that verified word again. It can't be verified. Now, again, I'm not going to bore you with all those obvious details as well, because it absolutely is verified. In fact, the Biden family, the Biden people, the Biden son, the Biden, the candidate, the Biden campaign, none of them, nada, have come out and argued anything about its authenticity. Not a thing. Haven't heard a syllable about that, because they know it is authentic and it is in the FBI's hands. It is not that that's some sort of comfort and mode to help you out to get rid of the fear. I apologize for throwing that in there, but it is in the some of the these agency hands, which, you know, we got to get back and talk about that, too. That brings up a whole nother point about these crooked agencies and what the hell they're still doing there. We'll come back to that point, too. Don't remind me if I forget, okay? And so now, you know, Stahl, who's on this, there's no evidence, no verification. That's her whole thing. The president goes on, no, it's the biggest scandal. And he was now talking, he changed the subject to when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign. She says, there's no evidence. No evidence, Stahl says. No evidence they spied on your campaign. Again, I'm not going to bore you there either, people, okay? But you know the evidence out there already. No matter where you fall in the political spectrum, you know the evidence. It is as clear as day. And it's also clear that the Robert Mueller Saturday night special counsel extraordinaire found nada, nothing. You see, nothing was there. Because had they found anything from his financial operations, from the Russia collusion, or when he had that pimple at 14 years old, my friends, it would have been all over the national news. That would have been verified right there. No problem, right? Sure. Wow. Oh, yeah. You just, this Leslie Stahl thing was over the top, through the woods to grandma's house we go, I'll tell you. And so she ends up this way, Stahl. She says, sir, let me tell you something. This is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things that we can't verify. And it really is that kind of a disgrace that we're talking about here, you see. I mean, and the fact that they do this right in front of our, right in front of us, I mean, right in the light of day, we'll see again what 60 Minutes releases on this thing, but it's right out there, people. And to think they have the audacity, I mean, the hoonas to do this sort of a thing and then tell us this, the whole verification game, all of a sudden the journalistic integrity card. We want to play that now, Mr. President. Is that okay? We know we have none. We know we violated every oath if we ever took it in the history of mankind for the media world of whatever. We know that, Mr. President, but could we please pull that journalistic card out now and say, we can't run this story in the ninth inning because we can't verify this. Well, it's not just that, Mr. President. We don't want to verify it, Mr. President. Is that okay with you, Mr. President? Is that okay? My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Well, I thought that was a good time for a break as I was having an aneurysm there with that. But so the debate, we'll move away from Leslie Stahl now. Enough of her. She's just an example of every one of these stooges out there. And it does stretch the mind. And I don't have all the answers for you as to why they do what they do and how corrupt they are. I mean, the president coined and used the term fake news. I mean, that will be a historical statement 20, 30 years from now that this president made a national talking point. And it's part of the brand now. I mean, that's what he's done with that fake news business. And it's just part of our vernacular now of dealing with the media and who they are. I don't know that there's any coming back from this, people. I don't know how you ever bring back any journalistic integrity at this point. I just don't see it. It's sad. It's beyond sad. It's sick. Goes against our entire free press. But they have gone so far over the ledge. How do you come back from that? I mean, what do they kiss and make up and tell us the next election they're going to be good little boys and girls? You know, it's like the debate commission comes out the other day. I don't know if you've seen this with the presidential, like, we could have done a better job. You know, you see him hitting the elbow at you on the side. Yeah, wink, wink. Yeah, we could have done a better job this time. Maybe next time. Say, yeah, we're gonna regroup after this and take a look and really see about, like, you know, maybe we should get the two campaigns involved in who the moderators are. That's like I could have had a V8 moment. Yeah, okay, got it. Well, yeah, you think you should. And then maybe let them know that you're going to, you know, do virtual debates and stuff at the last minute as well and see if they like that idea or not, you know. This debate commission or something else. And then the way they line all the topics up and the questions up and the gotcha and... Even somebody who's on her best behavior, who's like this Kirsten lady who did it, everybody said did a decent job. But even with that, who are on their best behavior, you can see the slant. Even in your Sunday suit best behavior. I mean, listen, you're at your prime. You know what I'm saying? It's like when your mother said, put clean underwear on, put your best suit and tie on and look your best and smile, little Johnny, little Mary here. We're going to Sunday school. Yeah, look your best. And they did that with her, and she was on her very, very best behavior, and still she was about as corrupt and about as angled and slanted and twisted as the way she cut the president off, like, good golly, like 100-something times, whatever the number is, I don't know. And but it's over 100 times, and the other one was minuscule, less than I think it's a dozen and a half or something. You know, I don't even know if it's that. But and the way the whole topics and the question, so I mean, that, and that's even on your Sunday school best behavior, I'm telling you. The fact that she was called out for being a far less socialist stooge, so she had to be on sort of her best. And as a media journalist, you know, she was just, like I said, on her Sunday school best. And still she stunk like a rotten egg, you see, and still. But, you know, that's what you got. That's what you got, you know, with this whole debate thing here. And that's but the right has been acquiescent to the left for so many of these election cycles now. I've been talking about this and again, all the way back in 96 and 2000 and 2004. And they always pick moderators from the left. They're always, always. Well, now you could argue back with me. I say, well, Malcolm, I mean, come on. I mean, all the media is just about the left. And you would be right. But there are some good conservative people out there. Or let me rephrase that. There are some good patriotic Americans or some people who are level-headed, like yours truly here, like me, who would be thrilled to moderate a debate. I'd be happy to do it. And you know I'd put on my best Sunday school outfit. And you know I'd be very proper. You know, you have to know that. And I'd bring you the truth. I wouldn't let them get away with it. But, you know, they, well, as our dear old buddy in the acting business said, you can't handle the truth. Yeah, pretty much, huh? So let's get back to, I want to talk to you about this. Oh, Bobulinski. You see this Bobulinski surface out of nowhere here. Now, this was something else. You know, the first thing that came to my mind with Bobulinski, and I'm going to make your day here, but the first thing that came to my mind, I'm very serious now, is Vinny Bobulinski. They look like they're best pals walking down the road. Yeah, Vinny Bobulinski, and here's Tony Bobulinski, best buds. Of course, that was John Travolta in Welcome Back, Kotter. Well, I went and I searched and I found oh my golly, this show was so funny. Travolta, what a talented, just to improv the classic in that Welcome Back, Kotter. You know, these old sitcoms like that were just, they don't make them that way anymore, you know? It was just hysterical. To bring back a little bit of memory, and you got to hear him sing this song. Listen to this a minute. This is the Bobulinski, but certainly could be the classic of Bobulinski walking in with all of his phones, and he does the dance with Travolta and all. Here we go.
First thing you got to do is a Vinnie Bobulinski look, okay? Your hair, for instance, very casual. It should look like it's being blown by unseen winds.
How's that?
Yeah, it looks better. All right, the second is Vinnie Bobulinski's stance, okay? Now, when you're with a girl, you don't want to let her know that you're there, right? Very nonchalant, okay? Keep your eyes closed. Stand in the corner.
Vinnie, you're going to give yourself a third-degree corduroy burn.
Now loosen up. We gotta loosen up here, all right? All right. Start to relax. Start to feel who you are. I say the ba 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 Bobulinski, ba 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 Bobulinski, ba 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 Bobulinski. Got a rockin' and a reelin' and a boppin' and a reelin' Bobulinski.
Well, I got to tell you, I laughed. And boy, did I laugh. In fact, I got to put that video out over the weekend on social media and let you all see it. It is, you got to watch it three or four times and you'll about pee your pants when you see the acting skills and the way that Travolta puts it out there. It is just hysterical. And so that's kind of what I seen with Bobulinski coming. I don't know, this way my mind works, people. The first thought kind of, oh, Vinnie Bobulinski. Yeah, man. Back in the Welcome Back, Kotter days, John Travolta. And it is a classic, classic skit. I mean, you got to see this. Promise me you go check it out. And it's a good laugh. But I just thought it would, you know, we gotta lighten the mood up sometimes. Again, I started this talking about fear, right? Fear. And about our nerves being shot. Sometimes we got to laugh at this thing too, people, and keep it real. Let's keep it real, okay? All right. So let's talk a little bit about Hunter Biden's dealings and the Bobulinski. I love the name. Bobulinski and Bobulinski. Yep, got it. And so there are 50 national intelligence folks who said that he's accusing me of is a Russian plant, is what he comes back with. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, Joe Biden says, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except him and his good bud there, Rudy Giuliani. And that was what Joe Biden answered back at the debate now, you say. So now what's happened, there have been some developments on this as well to speak about, and the FBI has requested an interview with the Bobulinski. I don't think they've requested an interview with Barbarino. I don't think Travolta is going to be there, but Bobulinski, they want to talk to him. And it's already been set, but then moved, and we'll see what day it's going to happen here, but this will happen, it appears. And he's offered the phones and whatever else he needs or wants. Now, there's not been any dirt yet out on this guy. Evidently, he's a decorated military guy, and he was definitely part of the Biden group there. I don't know where the dirt is going to come, but typically the opposing side will typically jump into Bobulinski's past and find out, you know, whatever they can about him to discredit him. So they'll look and see if he, you know, he was a choir boy or if he had two beers on a Friday afternoon or smoked some weed or something. And that'll be, oh, my God, do you see what this guy did in 93? I mean, we can't use him. He's a freaking liar. I mean, that's what they do. It's what the left will do. You can count on that pretty well happened at some point, I guess. Funny is they tried that with the Supreme Court nomination, too, of Amy Coney Barrett, but they couldn't find any marijuana or whatever else in her background or her two beers on a Friday afternoon, right? I guess. And if she did do that, she hid it well. None of that seemed to come out. They couldn't Kavanaugh her. Isn't it funny that's become an action point now with the, you get Kavanaugh. It's like, crucify that lady, you know? That's kind of what they put us through that last time there as well. So Tony Bobulinski, so to remind you now, he's listed as the recipient of the email that was published in the New York Post, which, by the way, you have to have a lot of respect for. They broke the stories here. They were really sideswiped from the tech giants who went after them big time. I got to give them credit, people. They went against the entire media landscape and put it in their face and really spit at them all and said, here's some truth now. And they didn't like it. So tech media jumped in to back up the rest of the media culprits. And they tried to cut the Post off at the pass and call it, you know, censor and everything. And its brother, which you already know all this again. So no sense of being overly obvious here. But here's what is interesting with this here. So Bobulinski there is listed as a recipient in the email, as you know, that's published by, again, the NYP, right? New York Post, right? And they reference the equity split now. What was referenced here is 20% for H. Hunter and 10% for the big guy. Now, Bobulinski comes out and he says in the conference, the little press thing that he did before the debate. And by the way, as a reference point, none of the media ran that. The only one that ran it was Fox News. And as much as we all bitch and complain about Fox News, and we do, we got to at least give some accolades to the New York Post and Fox News for at least giving us some semblance of order there to the truth of news. And I want to remind you of that because I know we're all very critical of them. And I get it. I'm critical as well as you are. But listen, let's be real with each other now and let's put the truth out there. They didn't have to run that press conference. Nobody else ran it because I turned to all the channels right while he was on. And they not only didn't run it live, but they didn't run it taped either. They didn't want nothing to do with this story, you see. So he comes out, Bobulinski now. He says the reference to the big guy is the much publicized May 13, 2017 email, is in fact the reference to Joe Biden. This is Bobulinski now, who says he was brought on as the CEO. And listen to this now. This is interesting. You might have heard this or not. Sinohawk Holdings, from China. It's a Chinese firm. So Hunter Biden and James Gilliar are the senders of the email, okay? Sinohawk was a partnership between the Chinese operation there through CEFC, the chairman Yi, and the Biden family. I mean, people, this thing is a whole operation. I mean, it's kind of hard to look the other way and not see any of this. I mean, you have to be intentionally doing that because, you know, we're being hit right here in broad daylight with the truth. And this is verifiable. If Leslie Stahl wanted to get off her high horse and check any of this out as a 60 Minutes reporter or a good CBS lady there, she'd be able to report on all this and tell us the truth, right? You agree with that? So Bobulinski said he does not believe that Biden's previous claim that the Democrat and younger Biden did not discuss Hunter's business. Okay. That's Bobulinski said he does not believe Biden's previous claim. So he's going against Joe because Joe Biden said, well, you know, they denying everything, of course. Hunter Biden frequently, he says, referenced asking him for his sign off, the big guy, Biden, Joe, that is, yeah, or advice on various potential deals. He says, I quote, I've seen Vice President Biden saying he never talked to Hunter about his business. I've seen firsthand that that's not true because it wasn't just Hunter's business. They said they were putting the Biden family name and its legacy on the line. Okay. Now, he says then the Biden family aggressively leveraged the Biden family name, is what Bobulinski says, to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were from communist-controlled China. Now, that is interesting. And nobody's talking about it. And so a couple of things have to happen here, and a lot should happen in the next week or two. And let's see what the Senate does and the political establishment. But we know the media establishment isn't touching this. But what should happen now with the political leaders and whatever the Senate, when they're going to talk to him and find this out. But listen, if we've got proof in fact that he is receiving percentages of dollars, I mean, this is beyond illegal. He will be in prison. He needs to be in prison. This is what happens. This is more than just illegal. This is criminal behavior, people. This is treason at the highest order. This is selling out our government. This is selling out our country. This is a traitor. That's what this is. Joe Biden, the former vice president, and the Biden family, he and they are traitors to this nation. Based on this information, this is fact, and it is verified. And I don't know how else you look at that, people. If that sounds like it's too much, too bad, because it's the truth. And so unless they can come up with something to totally discredit the entire laptop, which there's been no discredit for, it's got Hunter's signature all over the place. If they can discredit that, let's hear it. If they can discredit the authenticity of what's on that laptop, let's hear it. If they can discredit Bobulinski, let's hear it. And you know they're going to try that, I would have to think. Now, I don't know when that happens, but they always go back to the guy's past and find everything they can. That's what we do in our country, because when you can't defend the truth, you got to go and try to, you go and find all the criminal behavior, all the illicit behavior, not really, but you go and find, I mean, it doesn't have to be any of that. It could just be things you make up, AKA let's Kavanaugh. Let's Kavanaugh Bobulinski. We'll make all the lies up, throw it out there to the American people and swear by it. And then Leslie Stahl will pick it up because, well, that's verified. Why is that verified? Well, because my cohorts verified it. I mean, isn't that kind of how this is all working? Sure it is. It sounds a little sick, but it's how it's all working, you see? So we've got a problem here, people. I don't have any doubt in my mind, and I don't know if you have any, but I don't have any doubt that Joe Biden was doing a lot of illicit, corrupt behavior here. It is very much there. That's not a partisan statement, people. It isn't, because it is a fact. If he wasn't, I wouldn't tell you that. And it is what it is. Listen, I prefer to have a fair fight. I prefer to have a fair contest. There's no need to win anything in a corrupt manner. Let's be fair. Let's be honest. Let's be truthful. Let's be American. Let's have a fair election. I'm cool with that. But don't put a criminal in play here and then lie to our face and insult us in such a way. Stop insulting the American people, please. The fact that nothing was verified for 4 years, Leslie Stahl, and it was all good for you and your pals in the media, that was perfectly legit, but now it's not. And you can't even look at this. And yet these are real scandals. This is a real laptop. That is his real signature. They are real emails. There is real corrupt behavior here. And it looks very much as the plain of day is, as the biggest nose on your face, that this former vice president was making a percentage of deals with our foreign adversaries. Now, how's that one fit on for you? Does that work for you? Yeah, yeah, that's what's happening, people. And there's no other way to make that stuff up. It might sound like it's out there, and it is. But it's really not, actually. And I'll tell you, you know, we're seeing this now with Biden and Hunter and Joe and Joe Blow and Hunter and the rest of them. But I got to share with you, you know, the sad part about this, I'm afraid to say to you, is that I've had a sneaking suspicion for a very long time. And if you know me, you listen to me, you know where, you know, I tell you the truth. But this sort of thing is actually pretty typical behavior for Washington. My fellow Americans, if we were to hold every politician accountable by these standards that I'm talking to you about today, I would verify right now with you, with my right hand up. I have my right hand up in my oath and my hand on the Bible. Okay, right now, I'm speaking to you right now with the God's honest truth. And I'm telling you, if we went by that standard across the board in Washington, D.C., I would tell you what. We would clear out the halls of Congress in short order. We would clear out the halls and our government bureaucracies in short order. You would hear a large sucking sound coming from the establishment throughout Washington, D.C. And you would clear out all of this almost immediately. If you could do that. Just like in some of those sci-fi films, when they do something, they pull all the bad people from Earth, or all the good people go up in their little spaceships. Yeah. If we could clear them all out of, and if anybody who's done a deal like this, so it's not terribly unusual, as bad as it sounds, and it is, I'm afraid to say to you that this sort of illicit and corrupt behavior has become all too normal by Washington standards, which is why I say to you all the time, it is time that we term limit everybody, Supreme Court, Senate, House, President, which already is, but the rest of them are not, lead key positions in government agencies, executive positions, all of that. They all need to be term limited, all of them across the board. That's what I'm talking about right there. Okay. And that's it. But this deal here with Hunter, I'm afraid a lot of this is happening, and by different levels, different measures. It's not this kind of exact deal. They all have different deals, but there's a lot of shady business. It's why you have them all living in tens of millions of dollars of gorgeous mansions and homes and gated communities and security and armed guards and caviar and expensive wine by the poolside. And this is the life of luxury as they preach climate change and they fly around in their fancy jets and suck up all the emissions they can and blow it out there and blow it up our ass and our backside. And this is what happens, right? This is what goes on here as they preach to the rest of us. Where do you think that's all coming from? On their salary? Not even close. Not even close. Their salary is no better, no worse than any executive. That they don't make any kind of a fortune in the political world. And remember, they're supposed to be there to serve to begin with. You see? Yeah, serve who? They're serving the devil. This is Satan's finest hour, I will tell you. Finest hour. There was also all the conversation about the fracking. Boy, did Joe Biden get caught with his pants down there. Did you see that? Whew. Wowza, wowza, wowza. I would imagine the Trump campaign will have commercials out. I'm sure they're already out before our head is spinning on this and what the president has said. First of all, he's on record all over the place talking about fracking. The president's been playing out his debates. If his people, Biden, that is, Joe, or he himself, were paying attention and watching the president or his rallies, rather, they would have known that the president has already put all this out there. Joe Biden is already all over the place on record about what he's going to do about fracking, about opposing, more than opposing it. I mean, and about the energy, right? In America, we now are an energy independent nation, which is something we've been trying to strive for a long time, to get out of these Middle East wars and be out, not at the beck and call of these lunatics out in the Middle East, you see? And then send our young men and women into harm's way and to go protect as oil spikes and gas prices go through the roof. We've been here, people. We've been down there. We've seen that record play before. Yeah. And then we all ask, well, why can't we do this? Why can't we think outside of the box a little bit? Yeah, really, huh? Yeah. Donald Trump thought outside of the box and then some for everybody. He doesn't have a box in his life. Like myself, we don't carry boxes. We're unconventional. We think differently. 100%. I mean, I know where this comes from. And that's what's happening here with this now. So listen, on the point of this fracking, he says, I never said I opposed fracking. And he repeatedly said he would ban and oppose fracking. And now he wants to get rid of fossil fuels. He wants to shut down the energy. He says here, I would transition from the oil industry because the oil industry pollutes significantly. This is what he says right there. And of course, President Pelosi said, well, you remember that Texas, to Pennsylvania, but Oklahoma, Ohio. You hear the echo going through the empty room there at the debate, you know. And so the president quickly comes to that. He could have listed more than that, actually. But anyways, interesting. So he just blew up the energy and all those people as well. Fascinating as hell. And, you know, again, I'm not going to belittle this, and I'm not going to, demean you by giving you all the lies and telling you what the rest. Oh, this guy lies. I mean, it's all out there for your consumption. I think one thing I need to suggest to everybody is you got to figure this out. We have an obligation to figure this out. We have an obligation to look and find the truth. We have an obligation. And you should take your vote seriously before you just check off boxes. And I'm not talking R&D boxes or any of that nonsense. You should look at the candidates. And I know good people who do this. Say, sir, somebody just the other day told me that. They didn't know some of the people on the ballot. They looked at everyone, looked them up. And I complimented the lady. And I said, you know, I really commend you. That is an awesome thing that you're doing that and taking the time to understand the issues. And for this, that is a beautiful thing. And we all need to be doing that. So much more to talk about, my fellow Americans. A lot going on here at America Out Loud. I'll be front and center over the next couple of weeks here. Catch me on Viewpoint now on the weekends. And we got the second hour with Michael Johns at 11 a.m. But 10 to 12 is the place to be. America Out Loud Talk Radio, Viewpoint. Great programs, great thoughts, opinions, ideas will elevate the conversation always and continue to bring it to you here. Thank you again, my fellow Americans, for being with me on the journey. It's time to get involved and get loud.